our laminator for.
When I walked in, John didn't even say happy Mother's Day first. I was just saying next to him. Not today. Not next week. It is an honor to be here today and to share what I believe the Lord gave to me. And it's not in song, it's in words. I have to admit, when Sister Joyce first asked me about speaking today via a text through my sister-in-law, I laughed. And I said to my husband, doesn't she know I'm not a preacher? And I didn't take it seriously. So I wrote back to Brenda and I said, you mean teach a class? She said, no. I said, the main service? She said, yes. And I still was laughing. Like, you gotta be kidding. So I picked up the phone and called just to make sure that Sister Joyce knew who Brenda had texted. And I said to Sister Joyce, when I started talking to her, I'll pray about it. Give me a day. And for the next day, I prayed diligently that the Lord would say, it's okay to say no. You ever prayed like that?
Amen.
He didn't say no. Now, he didn't say it was okay to say no. I didn't hear anything. He also didn't give me a topic. I got nothing. And I know that wasn't good English, but I got nothing.
And I called her
back on Friday night, and I said, I didn't hear from the Lord, so I have to say yes. So I'm here today, and I'm going to share with you what I believe the Lord's given me. And I believe it's for every mom who's here today. Every mom who is here today, and every mom who may someday grow up in this church. And I want all of us to pray as I try to share from the Lord what I believe is we have for Mom's Day 2015. So I ask you to join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you right now, and I ask you, Lord, to anoint the words that you want me to say. Let me hear you clearly, Lord. Let me say only what you want me to say and what you want me to share. And Lord, I ask you to help each mom who's here today to receive what you want us to have in our hearts and to fulfill your will. And Lord, we just praise you and give you glory, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
How many of you all know that Mother's Day has been celebrated for over 100 years? I didn't know that until I did a little research this week. But Mom's Day was first celebrated in 1908 in West Virginia, of all states. Anna Jarvis held a memorial service for her mom, Ann Jarvis, in West Virginia. And everyone who attended, she gave a red carnation. That's where that came from, for those of you who know the history of giving a red carnation. And then for 2 years, she campaigned across that state for the United States to recognize moms for a holiday. Finally, in 1914, Woodrow Wilson was president, and he declared the second Sunday of May as Mother's Day, as a time for, this is a quote from him, public expression of our love and reverence for the moms of our country. So now Mom's Day is celebrated in the United States and all over the world, different dates in the other countries. But I want you to know that long before the United States recognized Mom's Day as a national holiday, do you know that God had already ordained Mom's Day? How many of you all know that the seventh commandment?
Yes.
God declared Mom's Day as every day of the year. Kids, listen, every day of the year. Exodus 20:12 says, as it is up on the screen, honor thy father and thy mother. Fathers, you'll have your day in another month or so, but this day is about Mom's Day. that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I believe that every mom needs to be honored, and I believe that every mom deserves to be honored.
Yes.
God ordained it as every day of the year, but we're really recognizing everyone publicly today. So I would like for every mom who is here today, whether you are a biological mom, an adoptive mom, a stepmom, a foster mom, a grandma, a real granny, a spiritual mom, to stand. I know you've stood before, but I want you to stand again. You deserve to be honored. So I personally honor you, and I thank you for your love, for all that you have done, everything you're doing right now, and everything you're going to do, because you deserve it.
Amen.
Let's give them a round of applause. I'm a teacher by heart and by profession, so I always have to make sure everyone understands what I'm talking about. So up on the screen, you see what is a mom. I want to make sure we all know what Webster's Dictionary says a mom is. A mom can be a female parent. That's someone who, a woman who gave birth to a child. A mom can be a woman who performs the primary role of a mom. May not be a biological mom. A mom can be a woman who cares for and protects like a mom. And a mom could be a woman in authority. So I encourage us today, as I share, that we not limit our definition of mom. Don't limit it just to a biological mom. I want you to look around the congregation. I don't know all the women, but those who attend here know most everybody. You might be able to look around this congregation and point out different roles that women fulfill. You might be a biological mom with one or more children. You might be an adoptive mom, meaning you legally adopted someone. Or you might have seen someone who needed a mom or a grandma, and you decided to adopt them. You might be a stepmom. You might be a foster mom. You might be a grandma who performs the role of a mom and a grandma. And like I said before, you might be a real granny. I think there's only one here that falls in that category.
Amen.
You might be a spiritual mom. You ask, what's spiritual mom? Probably each one of us fall in that category. It's a woman who's well established in her walk with the Lord and in the Word of God. Others are drawn to us, and we act as a mentor for them. So no matter which role or roles that you're fulfilling today, can you agree with me that we influence children and others in our lives?
Amen.
Not one day, but every single day. And we must remember that. So what does it mean to be a mom? Some things have already been shared here today. I almost preached my message. But a mom means that we love. We face challenges. We enjoy the moments when we're proud of our children. We have disappointments sometimes, but we love. And we keep on loving no matter what. We don't give up on our children. It also means that we have the right, guys and girls, to naturally share wisdom over and over and over.
Yes.
Sometimes we even borrow wisdom from our moms and our grandmas. Any of these sound familiar? How many times do I have to tell you? What part of no do you not understand? This was my mom's favorite. Enough is enough, and too much is flat out nasty. I heard that once, I heard it 1,000 times, and I still hear her using that with her great-grandchildren that she's involved with. How about this one? Just wait till we get home. This one I've heard a lot too. Hunter, Hope, you all ever hear this? I don't care what everyone else is doing. I care only about what you are doing. And then this one I've said many times. You will always be my baby. And I will always love you, no matter what. Doesn't matter what age. A mom's heart is about love. Now, being a mom also means that we're a super mom. What other career requires you to know how to do absolutely everything? Think about it. We have to be a role model. We have to be a teacher. Sometimes we're the principal, a nurse, a doctor, a counselor, a warrior or fighter. Sometimes we have to be a preacher. Sometimes a nutritionist. Sometimes we are just the transportation center. Sometimes we're the maid or the cook, the seamstress, the peacemaker, the entertainer, the coach. You get the picture? It goes on and on and on. But no matter what, we love. So when I was preparing for today, I thought about how very blessed I have been with my mom. I have a godly, loving mom. She's 84 years old now. But long before I was born, Mom said, "As for me and my house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I have been blessed. I love her. And her godly influence has made all the difference to me. Mom has willingly served in several of those roles that I mentioned at the beginning.
What?
She's a biological mom to four children, a foster mom to one son. She's been an adoptive parent to my adopted brother from Mexico for over 16 years. My mom has also been an adoptive mom and grandma to an entire family for over 30 years, where she also served as a nanny. And over the years, I have been blessed to watch my mom serve as a spiritual mom and mentor to a number of young adults from over 14 countries. I was surprised when I took time this past week and asked her to name the countries. God brought these young adults into my mom's life one at a time. My mom never traveled out of the country. But one at a time, these young men and women were brought into her life. And all she did was share God. All she did was share her faith in God. And she's made a lasting impact on each one of them. And I'm very proud of my mom for sharing her faith in God. So I thought about what could I possibly share today that would be of any benefit. And I asked Mom, "Mom, what made you a godly mom? What do you think makes a godly mom?" And Mom started talking in her usual fashion and poured out of her heart all these things. Finally, she stopped and she said simply, "Nina, just follow God." So I thought about that for a few days. And then I thought about me and how blessed I've been with my calling to be Cassie's mom, Missy's stepmom, Dallas's mom-in-law, Hunter Hope's grandma. I have been blessed. I went back to Cassie and I said, "Mom, Cassie, what about me as your mom? What do you have to say?" Without hesitation, Cassie said, "You knew from the beginning it was always about me." That wasn't what I expected to hear. I should have, but we both laughed like you all are doing, and then we shared some stories about how, okay, it's always been about you. I admit it. The world does revolve around you, honey. Does that sound familiar in your house? A lot of adults think the world revolves around them. A lot of children think the world revolves around them. That is what life is all about, right? So over the next few days, I thought some more about that. It's all about me. And I got Cassie didn't know she was speaking to my heart when she said that. And I thought, if I really want to be a godly mom, and I really try hard to meet God's requirements, to serve Him with all of my heart, to love Him with all of my heart, to be who God wants me to be, I will be doing all that really matters deep down to her and to the others I've named in my calling, because I'll be giving the greatest gift ever to each one of them. I will be giving to them a godly influence. And that really is all about them.
Amen.
So today, I'm going to talk to you a little bit and share from my heart on the influence of a godly mom. The subtitle is, It's All About Me, Mom. So for the next few minutes, I'm going to share a lot for the moms, but maybe there'll be some gem there that the guys can pick up on as well. Moms, I'm challenging you right now, as I share from my heart, to consider how our walk with the Lord defines us. Our walk with the Lord makes all the difference. And whether we influence our children and those in our lives with a lasting impact for God. The Lord directed me to a mom in the Bible that's not well known. After I, personally on my own, studied every other mom there is in the Bible, the Lord said, no, here's the one I want you to use. Her godly influence made all the difference to her son, but there's not much information in the Bible about her. So we're going to look at three passages in the Bible. I put them up on the screen. Two of them are in 2 Timothy, and one is in Acts. So you can follow along on the screen. Now, 2 Timothy is a letter from the Apostle Paul to Timothy, who was a young preacher. And he became a great worker with the Apostle Paul. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned or sincere or genuine faith that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Now, I'm going to move over to 2nd. I forgot to do that, sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. Remember, Paul is speaking to Timothy. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. We'll read that again. But continue thou in the things, Timothy, that you have learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And finally, in Acts 16, verses 1 to 2, then came he, Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. This passage was written to Timothy, and this is all about a mother who isn't well known and her impact on Timothy. So I want to talk first about Timothy. Who was he? Who did he become? And what did he accomplish in his life? From these passages, You learned, if you didn't remember, that Timothy's mom's name was Eunice, and his grandma was Lois. His mom was a Jew, and his dad was a Greek. And probably by the time Timothy was about early 20s, Timothy had become a disciple, and he was well respected in the community. When Paul first met Timothy, Timothy recognized that faith, that sincere faith in God that Timothy had, and his walk with the Lord. And Paul said to Timothy, "I would like for you to join me in my ministry." He recognized his faith, and he asked him to be a co-worker. Timothy joined Paul, and he became a great evangelist, missionary evangelist, and later he became a pastor, and he led many to the Lord. Timothy was teachable, and Paul took time and invested in him and taught him a lot. Timothy became Apostle Paul's best-known companion. Two books in the Bible are written to Timothy and named after him. Are you all getting the picture? Timothy had a strong faith in God. He followed God, and he made a lasting impact for the Lord during his lifetime. We're still talking about him today. Think about it. Timothy followed God. So who do you think was responsible for influencing Timothy the most? He became a man of God, I believe, because he was most influenced by his mom.
Yes.
Let me rephrase that. By his godly mom, not just a mom. His godly mom, Eunice. The Bible doesn't give us many details about Eunice. You saw that she was recognized by name, but you don't know anything about her personal life, what she looked like, how old was she, did she have any challenges? But what we do know about Eunice defines her powerful influence upon Timothy. Look at this verse in 2 Timothy 1:5. Look at what I've highlighted in blue. Starts out by saying, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother and your mother, Eunice." This is the only instance, as I said, where Timothy's mom is named by name. But we know from this verse that Timothy's mom, Eunice, and his grandma, Lois, had a strong faith in God. Oh, to be known for our faith in God.
Yes, amen.
If nothing else,
amen.
What a legacy. Yes. What a heritage to leave to our children and others we are responsible for, others we are impacting, to be known by our faith in God. So Paul was convinced that that same faith that he saw in Timothy had come from the grandma and the mom. Acts 16:1. Look at what this one says here. "Then came he, Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, or Timothy, the son of a certain woman," she's not named there, but we know it's Eunice, "which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was Greek." Eunice was a certain woman. A certain woman. An ordinary woman. She wasn't an angel. She wasn't a saint. She was an ordinary woman. Look around the room.
Yes.
We're all ordinary women. We're not perfect. We may think we are sometimes, but we're not perfect. Her husband was a Greek, a non-Jew. I can't explain how that happened, that she married a non-Jew. The Bible doesn't give us details. And we don't know anything else about him. This passage also says that Eunice was a Jewess. I had to look that up to understand what that meant. That means the community recognized her as a Jewish lady. She was Jewish. So undoubtedly she was raised in a home where both of her parents were Jews. Now, in Jewish homes, the parents know what their first obligation is to their children. They know they must instill the love and fear of God into those children, not at 10 or 12 or 15, but at a very young age. They begin at a very young age. Formal training I learned this week starts at age 5. But they know they can't wait till 5. Yes. They start at a young age. So Eunice grew up, most likely, in a godly home. A Jewess and believed means that Eunice converted to be a Christian. She had studied the Holy Scriptures. She had read all about and heard all about the prophecies in the Old Testament of the Messiah to come. And when she heard about Jesus, she knew that was the promised Messiah. Her upbringing made all the difference to her. And she knew when she became a parent that she had to remember that, what made a difference to her. Now look at the next verse. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." Whoops. Looks like I haven't been doing that. Sorry. I'm not going too far. This verse tells us that Eunice taught her son as a child. We don't know the details about how she taught it. She may have recited what she had learned. She may have asked her mom to help her. But nevertheless, I believe that what we know about her from this scripture tells me that Eunice made the wisest decision ever. She knew she had a high calling as a mom. She knew she had to step up to the plate. She had to commit herself to teach Timothy by word and example the truth and wisdom of the Holy Scriptures. She could not ignore that responsibility. Are you getting the picture here? Yes. About Timothy being with his mom Eunice? As a young child, Timothy no doubt watched his mom. Timothy listened to his mom and learned from her. Eunice loved Timothy, and I believe Timothy knew it. Eunice loved God, and I believe that Timothy knew that and saw that. Eunice instilled in Timothy God's truth and wisdom, just as she had had that instilled in her. God used both Timothy's mom, Eunice, and Timothy's grandma, I believe, to influence Timothy and to prepare him for God's plan for his life. No one knew what God's plan was for his life, but together they were the faithful role models that God called them to be. So as Timothy grew, can you imagine how Eunice must have felt when she saw him learning about God? Think about it. We're all proud of our children when we see them learning things. She watched him learn about God. She watched him follow God. She watched him be what God required of him. How thankful I believe she must have been that she herself had followed God's calling. Think about the story if she hadn't followed the calling. Think about what Timothy's life might have been if she hadn't stepped up there and been who she was called to be. If she trained up her son in the way that he should go, and then she watched him follow and make the right choices. Imagine her joy when the Apostle Paul recognized her son's faith and asked him to go into ministry with him. She had to feel good about that. Do you think she dreamed she would be in the Bible, that she would be named? Do you think she would ever dream that her son would be who he became? You can't dream like that. You can dream for the best and hope for the best.
Yes.
But God used Eunice and Lois to impact Timothy's life. So what does Eunice teach us as moms about being godly moms? Number one, I believe that a godly mom loves and follows God. Eunice showed us that she had a heart after God. She demonstrated that dedicated, strong, faithful commitment to God and she didn't waver from it. She did like my mom said, she just followed God. So what does that mean? It means that our walk defines who we are as moms. It means that our walk will make a difference to our children. It will influence them for today and tomorrow. And if we want to follow God, we need to meet those requirements that God specifies in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. Listen to these words. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all of his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee for this day for thy good. Did you hear any ors in there? They were all ands. And. So if I love God and I walk with him, I'm going to hear his voice. If I hear his voice, I make a choice to obey his voice. If I obey him, I'm serving him. If I serve him, I'm loving him. If I'm loving him, I'm keeping his commandments. If I'm keeping his commandments, I'm being the godly influence that God has called me to be. And that becomes our way of life. If that's my way of life and I live like that every single day to the best of my ability, am I giving my children and others I'm trying to make an influence on the greatest gift ever? That's what it's all about.
Yes.
Be the godly influence that God has called you to be. Know what those requirements are. And when you fail, you start over. You pick up, you ask God to help you, and you keep on meeting the requirements. I believe that a godly mom knows the Bible. We must make that the Word of God relevant in our lives every day. And when I say our lives, that's plural. It doesn't mean that I just live the Word of God privately. It means I make that Word of God come alive in my home. I want the Word of God to be revealed to my children, to my grandchildren. I want to be the godly influence. I want to stand on the promises of God. I want to be able to recognize the power of the Word of God. Just saying the Word of God, praying the Word of God, living the Word of God will help me to be that godly influence. I also believe that a godly mom must remember and know her purpose and her calling. My purpose is to serve God. My calling is to be the mom, the godly mom, the godly grandma, the godly mom-in-law, the godly stepmom. Whatever my roles are, that is my calling. It's not the job I go to every day. Yeah, I have to do that for income. But my calling is God ordained. Your calling is God ordained. And I know that Eunice portrayed that. She understood her purpose. She knew her purpose. She knew her calling. She shared her faith in God with Timothy. And she gave him that greatest gift ever. That godly influence. So no matter what your mom role is, whether you're the biological mom, adoptive mom, foster mom, grandma, granny, spiritual mom, whatever roles you have, I'm encouraging us to remember that being a godly mom is a high calling. And it's not only a high calling, it's a high calling with eternal value.
Yes.
Each one of us is unique. None of us is perfect, but we've all been given God-given talents and strengths. And we all know that we have a supreme God who has all the answers when we don't have very many. We can be challenged, we can be disappointed, we can be on high from the joys of being proud of our children or others in our lives, but God has all the answers. So simply put, I'm asking us to remember that we must love and follow God, know the Bible, and remember our purpose and our high calling.